6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We are presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Football happened. Mike Golic was on the sidelines of the Bucks game. He stood next to Drew Brees. We have questions about his hair. Let's go to Golic.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
So I've worked over 200 weddings in my life.
What?
And the strangest one was a Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
I was a DJ.
You what? You were a wedding DJ?
I was
awesome.
I was a professional dancer.
Get the fuck out of here.
Come on.
No, sir. Professional dancer. High school through college.
Mikey, I have done probably 100 fucking shows with you at this point, and this is the first time that, like, I'm telling you, Mike Golic Jr. would not know this. Mikey C. would not know this. Dan Stanzik.
No, Mikey C. definitely knows. Dan Stanzik knows. Yeah.
Stanzik knows and never told me?
I'm surprised by that, yeah.
What kind of dancer?
I'm a professional party starter. You want to learn how to do the cha-cha slide? I'm
You're
the guy
lying.
To show you.
You're lying.
Here's the best one.
No, but
one
no, Latin. you're missing a major opportunity here. Golic's about to throw a wedding anyway.
Yes.
Continue.
Yes.
You don't think I'm bringing this up on accident here? One Latin woman at an all-white party, there's only one person who's going to be able to samba with her.
I'm confused. So wedding parties hire...
Not just weddings.
And
not
start
just
the
weddings.
Dancing? You're hired to start dancing at weddings?
I am the assistant to the DJ. So the DJ is the guy, he played all the CDs.
Right.
So it was all CDs, by the way. My knuckles are still white from carrying them. So... He would play the music, and I would be the face. I would be the person that would be out in front.
When's the last time you did this?
Probably a year or two out of college.
Can we see you do the samba right now? Like,
I'd probably just break a hip or something. Just doing
go ahead,
it now.
Break a hip if you don't.
if there was something that we could never say we ever thought possibly happened, this would be
Mikey A, professional dancer.
So Billy, what this is you know Dale, who works with the Heat, right?
Yeah.
He was like, for my daughter's bat mitzvah. Billy, did you go to my daughter's bat mitzvah?
I had something.
A lacrosse mitzvah? The same thing I had for your wedding?
Yeah.
But anyway, at my bat mitzvah, we had like a party. There was a DJ and then Dale. And Dale was the party starter, and he's great. He gets everyone excited, gets the kids going, gets everyone dancing. If you dare sit for 5 fucking seconds, Dale is going to let you hear about it. But Dale does this professionally for the Miami Heat, Mikey. He's a legend, Dale. Like, Billy knows who I'm talking about right now.
I need to ask a question of you, Mikey A. And this isn't to a moment.
I'm ready for it.
But so there's a DJ and he hires you, I guess, to be his assistant and kind of start dancing. What in that makes you be able to say that you're a professional dancer? I could be that person that just goes out and starts. Why are you a professional dancer?
What is the definition of a professional? Someone who gets paid to do it. Someone who gets paid to do it.
Yeah, but you're not professionally dancing. You're starting a party.
If you saw me, you'd not be so sure. You'd not be so sure.
Mikey, come on. You're not when you said professional dancer, I thought you were a stripper. Like, I really did.
Maybe. Go find a pole right now.
Depends on the party.
Yes, go find a pole right now, Mike said.
Wow. That I'm blown away.
Yeah. We all are. It's stunning. Yes. Yeah. It's stunning. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here. This is jarring.
So, Mahomes.
No. I want to see you dance, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Maybe you'll show up to one of these weddings someday.
Well, hold on. Golic, would you consider hiring Mikey A to be the assistant to the DJ?
Absolutely fucking not. No.
Oh.
No shot.
Not unless I see an example.
I was just going to say, what would have to happen before this episode is over for you to consider hiring him to do your daughter's wedding?
I would need to see some kind of smooth moves on the screen.
Okay.
I've sent out some texts to see who it is that knows about this. And I got from someone, which I won't share a name, said, I lived with Mikey A. This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Oh,
so
boy.
That's Dan Stanzik, because he's the only Stanzik. Person that's lived with me apart from Allie.
He knew you were a DJ, but did not know that you were a party starter.
Yeah, well.
I'm texting Gojo right now. He's on the chain. He's 5 feet from Mike, but he can't come on our show.
Mikey, in all honesty, you started this out by saying you were a DJ, and then it's turned into a DJ's assistant and a professional dancer. So I'm not sure what we're believing.
Sounds like you wanted to go to get like the free food. Like you were the plus one that helped him move some things in and out to get the free food.
There's me working.
You're dancing you can at a see, wedding.
If you have to look at the faces behind. These are people that are in shock and awe about
look
what
at that
I am
face
doing.
On you.
He looks so.
Oh
young.
Yeah. Listen, the best part about me is I'm a silent assassin. You look at me and you're like, that guy's not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden, all of this busts a move, and you're like. Oh, am I the best dancer? No, but nobody my size should be able to move the way I do.
Mike, help me out here. If you were to, in 20 minutes or so, call Sydney Golic, your daughter, and say, listen, I got a new head of entertainment for the wedding. It's Mikey A. What would her response be?
She would literally laugh and hang up on me.
Smart.
There's no DJ. There's a band.
Nice. See,
and there will be nothing that changes the course of that.
Okay.
So, Mikey A, I'm sorry.
You have that band playing all Hall & Oates games, don't you?
I'm a slow song. Yeah.
Mike, Billy and I tried to tell you all season. Are you now believing in the Aaron Rodgers tank theory? What the hell was that?
God, that was unbelievable.
What happened?
How about the two quarterbacks that looked bad were Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady?
Amazing. I'm
stunned. So do you have a theory for Tom Brady then too? Because he looked bad like Aaron Rodgers. And I was standing right at the sideline for that game watching those throws.
I do have a theory for Tom Brady. He either wants to go to Green Bay.
Oh, jeez.
Connect the dots, Mike.
Perhaps San Francisco. We'll see. Can you imagine if Rodgers and Brady both want to go to Kyle Shanahan? What a decision you have to make there.
Yeah, who do you take? If you're Kyle Shanahan, who do you take?
Oh, my God. Who would you take? That is a great question.
He would take Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers can move.
He would take Aaron Rodgers, and he's got probably, I don't know, 5 years left of Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Brady's
exactly.
Maybe a year. 10. Brady's year to year at this point.
Yeah. Right? I mean, how about all the reports? Because we had to talk about him where Brady wasn't sure what he was doing. There's no way I think Brady's retiring, especially after that game.
I mean, Mike, Mike, he did, even while losing, he won because he brought him back, you know?
You know, I think he's coming back. You know, I don't think there's any way Gronk's coming back.
Really?
No, I just do not see it. I mean, Gronk looks like he's in pain every time he runs.
He does, although he had a decent game, though.
I mean, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
And things free up. I mean, when Godwin and Brown are there, Antonio Brown will never be there again. But when Godwin's there, it kind of frees up. Mike, I would say for me, this is Tom Brady kind of flexing his muscle to the Bucs. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm committed to the organization. Now I see my OC leaving, Byron Leftwich. Defensive coordinator might leave. I didn't come here for all you guys to leave. I came here so we could stay and win a couple of Super Bowls. And I think it's leverage. Like, hey, if you leave, I'm gone. You know?
Well, that's not going to stop Byron Leftwich from leaving.
Okay.
If Byron Leftwich gets offered a head coaching job, he's not going to fucking stay to be an old coordinator for Tom Brady.
But I'd rather be Tom's offensive coordinator than the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach.
No, you start your own path. You start your own path. Byron Leftwich will worry about Byron Leftwich. You know what he has already? A OC Super Bowl ring that he got last year.
Because of
so
Brady.
Now he worries. It doesn't matter. He's got a ring. Now he worries about Byron Leftwich. That's what he does. Todd Bowles worries about Todd Bowles if he gets another chance at another job. That's not. I'm not saying you're going to leave to be an OC or a DC somewhere else. You're leaving to be a head coach. There isn't a thought of, well, I'm going to stay and be the coordinator for Tom Brady. No, they will move on if they feel the opportunity is right.
But, Mike, could it be a leverage play in some way, meaning, hey, I want to see how the roster looks. I want you guys to go out and get X, Y, and Z. I need an offensive lineman. I need another wide receiver.
You won't know by then. You won't know by then. These coaching moves are going to be within the next month before free agency even starts.
No. So forget about the coaches. What if Brady is just putting it out there because he wants to make sure the Bucs go get the players that he needs?
Listen,
wants.
Aaron Rodgers could be doing the same thing. You don't think Devontae Adams is wondering what's going to go on? Does he want to stay in Green Bay for the next iteration of a quarterback and another, you know, first round exit in the playoffs? I don't think, you know, he wants to see what happens too. And the one good thing Rodgers said is before free agency hits, he's going to make a decision. And that one thing I've always said, never believe somebody right after a season. When a season ends, if they make a statement, a definitive statement one way or the other, I never believe it because you need time to decompress from a season. You know, Green Bay didn't expect to be done. Tampa Bay didn't expect to be done. I'll still tell you because while I was in the – it never went really far in the playoffs. I've been in the playoffs a number of times. And the most shocking thing is when you get to the playoffs, you think you're going to continue to win. Not only is it shitty when you lose, but understand the next day when you lose, you are now cleaning out your locker. I mean, it isn't like you're going to practice and get ready for the next game. You are cleaning out your locker, and you know the team is going to change. You know, there will be coaches that won't be there. You know, there will be players that won't be there. And all of a sudden, it's over. So Brady and Tampa Bay and Rodgers and Green Bay have to be stunned that it happened that way. So I think both of them, and they both got asked, and I understand that, and they both said they need time. You know, but I'm glad Tom's going to do it before free agency because you should know by then that's a couple of months of what you want to do. And then it gives your team to go in a direction that they want to go based on your decision.
But, Mike, I'm with – like, listen, he was – possibly the MVP this year. He's playing at such a high level. Why would you walk away now? I mean,
well,
why?
I agree. The only team, like I said, that I think would be ready made for him would be San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about
the pack.
No. I would stay in Green Bay. I would, if I were him, I think his best shot is in Green Bay.
Rodgers,
but he keeps unfortunately losing, or they do. I'm not putting it all on him. But for Rodgers, you know, people talk about Denver, you know, two good running backs, you know, defense that played pretty well. But the best place would be San Francisco. But Jimmy G now has him in the NFC Championship game. Where's that going to go? You pick a quarterback third in Trey Lance, though you could do something with that. Because
that
it's
would
not
be the
money.
Trade, though, to get Rodgers, right?
Yeah, it's not the money that it used to be. But, you know, why would they trade for Trey Lance? They got Love. They got their own quarterback that they picked in the first round. It would be unreal. Brady, I don't think Brady's going anywhere. I think if Brady stays, it will still be in Tampa Bay. He's got, what, one more year on his contract?
Yes.
And then you'll see what they have. Evans will be back. Godwin will be back from injury. We'll see what they're doing at tight end between Brayton Howard. You know, you got Fournette at running back. Does he come back? Your O-line is a pretty good O-line. You were missing Worse in that game, your right tackle, which certainly was a glaring miss. And you got two stud linebackers. You got some run-stuffing guys on the D-line. Depends on who all comes back. And I could see now, I talked about player or coaches saying, I'm not turning down a head coaching job to be Tom's OC or be a Buccaneer defensive coordinator. But players will say, I'm going to stay here another year because I think this puts me in the best shot to get back to the Super Bowl. So that's what Tom could wait and see as well. But I don't think Tom's retiring, and I don't think he's going to another team. So I think it's going to be – and then I think they'll load up again for next year.
Mike, we'll talk about the game. You were at that game. You were on the Tampa Bay Bucs game. You were on the sidelines. We have questions about Drew Brees and his hair. We have questions for you. We'll get to it in a second. But the NFL wins, man. Both one seeds are out, Mike. I just want you to talk about the weekend in general because it is rare where you have these massive expectations for a weekend and the weekend exceeds the massive expectations that we all had for it. But every game got better, Mike. 2-1 seeds are out. 3 walk-offs on field goals. An overtime game. A classic. Maybe the best game we've ever seen. The NFL always wins. What an incredible weekend of football, Mike.
I have never seen a weekend like that. All wins were final plays, and 3 were field goals and the 1 touchdown in overtime. Yeah. I was stunned. And it looked like the biggest blowout was going to be the game I was doing. It was 27-3. I mean, Tampa Bay's getting destroyed. And all of a sudden, you know, the Rams start fumbling, got fumbleitis and turning the ball all over the place. But I was amazed at this. And the one that ended with the Bills and the Chiefs, just stunning to me, the lack of freaking defense. And these two quarterbacks, Josh Allen running quarterback power sweeps. This is college amazing stuff. But they're running it with him. Mm-hmm. And then Mahomes' ability to escape is ridiculous. These two guys, and everybody says it's the new Brady and Manning. The only thing I'll say is Joe Burrow might have something to say about that. Because Joe Burrow has been just phenomenal, and he's 2 years into the league. So he's going to put himself in that category. But those two guys and what they did was absolutely incredible. I mean, Gabriel Davis in a loss for the Bills. Over 200 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns, something that's never been done before, breaking ankles of DBs. I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
They were so focused on Diggs and Knox that they – and why would you? Why would you pay attention to Gabriel Davis? Because you don't expect – even if you're leaving him open one-on-one coverage, and he had a great game, that last touchdown where he broke the quarterback's ankles. I mean, unbelievable. But why would you focus on Gabriel Davis? Of course you would focus on Diggs and Knox.
You wouldn't. And how about the end of the KC game? It's a linebacker that's on Travis Kelce catching that winning touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And between finding him and Tariq Hill – on the touchdown run he had, the crossing routes that they run. I mean, just it blows my mind. It blows my mind, too, defensively, that the stars, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, these guys are the ones open in these big plays. I mean, there's a reason they're great, but, my God, you would think there would be a little more attention paid to them Now, in some situations, it was a defensive play that was played, and things that happened, like in the game we can get to with Tampa Bay and LA, there was a reason for that. But I just, it's just incredible.
Mike, any issue? Because this is what happens after a game like last night. It was one of the great games that we've seen. But do you want to change the overtime rules? Because everyone seems to want to change the overtime rules, to which I would say there would be no overtime if Sean McDermott squib kicked it. Like that's.
So
I understand everyone feeling bad for Josh Allen. Right, he was perfect. Right. It's like a pitcher pitching a perfect game and losing. You know, he lost, but defense, make a stop, and coach, know the situation and squib kick it. How about that?
You're right. Why? And I normally hate the squib kick. A lot of times it's when they do it, but this was the perfect time for it.
Yes.
If there was ever a time for a squib kick, this was it. Make them touch the ball and make the clock start. Now, even if you scoop it and maybe they kneel on it, maybe they were told, hey, if it's a squib, scoop it, kneel, and you're only going to lose 1 second, right? I mean, you could do that if you're the return team as well.
But, Mike, when there's 11 seconds left, that second or 2 seconds or 3 seconds is so valuable.
No, I agree. And there was 13 seconds left, and I agree with you. I absolutely would have squib kicked it. But I guess their thought process was, too, if it doesn't go far enough, now Mahomes is even closer to getting them in field goal range. But I still would have done it. So here's my thought on overtime. You had every opportunity to stop them in the regular season and the regular regulation time and in overtime. You had every opportunity in the world, forgetting even the squib kick. You're on the field. You have a chance to stop him. Period. End of sentence. End of paragraph. New paragraph. New sentence. Overtime rules are horrible in the NFL. They're better than college, but they're horrible. Both teams need to possess the ball. I'm not saying that because of this game. If you go back and listen to me over the last number of years when I had a show, I was saying the exact same thing. Both teams need to have possession. And it has nothing to do with the game last night, because in any overtime situation, you have a chance during regulation to not let it go to overtime. And then everybody knows the rules. So, again, that's what I would say. Then I would stop, new sentence, new paragraph, and say I don't like the rules and I never have.
So you would have them play out another quarter, essentially.
I would have at least two possessions. My thing is play another quarter. If you don't want to go 15 minutes, go 10 minutes, go 12 minutes, but play another quarter. You score, then you get the ball. You score, you get, just play, play. These are grown men. They'll be able to do it. You know,
yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And then after one period, if you want to shorten the time, whatever, I mean, you can do it. And to me, it's just the postseason, because I don't mind ties in the regular season.
Mike,
it's
the only thing, the only thing I'll say to what it is you're saying is I kind of like the walk-off element of if I score a touchdown first, the game's over. Like, that was such an exciting moment that I don't want taken away from me or any fans.
And that's what you said right there. When you ask me a question, I'm normally 99% of the time, I'm going to give you the answer from a player's perspective.
Sure.
But the fan perspective I get, listen, my whole thing is in overtime, play the game that you're playing. But in soccer, we go to penalty kicks. In hockey, after you play a while, you go to penalty shots.
Yeah.
It's exciting as hell. I get it. From a fan's perspective, it's exciting as hell. Me as a player, I don't want to have played for 60 minutes in any of those sports and then stand on the fucking sideline and watch while two guys, you know, work on a penalty kick or in either hockey or soccer, or that I never get a chance to go back on the field in a football game. It's football. Play football. Play football, which includes kickoffs, punts, whatever it should include. And quite honestly, if you do that and you say, let's play a 10-minute period, and the team goes on a 10-minute drive and kicks a game-winning field goal with 3 seconds to go, so be it. So be it. But yeah, I'm one of those that wants to continue to play the game that you're playing. But I completely understand what you're saying, because I can't deny it. Even though I would rather have them play it, I'm seeing in hockey the penalty shot, or in soccer, I'm going, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. Even though half the time, 80% of the time, the goalie in soccer doesn't have a shot.
Billy, I'm surprised you're not taking a stab at like new overtime rules.
I've been thinking about it, to be honest
with
you.
That's what you need to do, Billy.
I've been thinking about it. And as Golic was talking, he was talking about how exciting shootouts are in hockey and soccer. Yeah, I thought,
you know what?
Why reinvent the wheel? Why not just take them to the ice and have them do a hockey shootout to decide an overtime game? You know?
You like it, Mike?
Oh, then you got to travel there. Where did the fans
Mike, every stadium obviously would have it underneath, you know, like in
oh,
the...
God. Oh, God.
Yeah, then you just kind of try
take it
out.
To the ice.
Yeah, like the halftime show. You just bring it, wheel it out.
It would be a lot easier to wheel out a couple of soccer goals and have them do a soccer shootout.
All right.
That could be a lot
That's
easier.
That's fun.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Come on. Workshop it.
You're workshop it.
Nice. Mike, the the pass from Patrick Mahomes to Tariq Hill, which gave the Chiefs the lead for a second, okay? Because then the Bills got it back, okay? That fucking pass is one of the greatest passes I have ever seen. It was a dart, Mike, right? He didn't have to break stride, and Tariq Hill is the fastest guy in any field he's playing on.
Yeah, as soon as he turns the corner, the one thing we always talk about on defense, and you work on it every day, we would call it pursuit drill. And everybody would line up, and then the coach would throw it out in like the flat, and the receiver would run all the way down the field, and you'd get your pursuit angle, so you'd have the right pursuit angle. Tyreek Hill is one of the few that outruns pursuit angles.
Yes.
That you could get an angle, but he's faster than that, and he beats your pursuit angle, which is just incredible. And Mahomes, see, here's the thing, and I started realizing this, I keep bringing up hockey, but of what we start to take for granted, hockey players can skate better than we can run. I mean, but they're pros and we see them do it, so we take it for granted of just how difficult it is. We're starting to take for granted, I think a lot of people do, that Patrick Mahomes is going to make a sidearm throw, a spin, a run right, run left, you know, underhand throw, that he's going to do that. And it becomes like the norm of something we expect. And if he doesn't, we'd be like, why didn't you do something crazy there? That's what he does. So I just hope everybody can keep in perspective just how amazing it is. It's amazing for basically everybody except the offensive linemen, because offensive linemen hate when a quarterback's running all over the place because they like to know where he is. But Mahomes and what he does is just incredible. He makes it look like the norm.
He really does. He's the only quarterback, Mike, where I actually looked up at the clock. I said 13 seconds, three timeouts. He's got a shot.
Isn't that unbelievable? I thought the same thing. It's like, how much time can you burn off the clock? You think 13 seconds. And then, like I said, everybody in the world had to be thinking squib kick.
Jim Nantz said it. Listen, Jim Nantz calling the game said, Tony, you got to put this kick on the ground, right? And Romo said, absolutely. You got to burn a couple of seconds. Yeah.
What I don't know, because I was traveling the next morning, I haven't heard if Sean McDermott said anything about. Did anybody ask him why he didn't squib kick it? I have not heard anything.
I don't know. Mikey A is checking right now. My guess is going to be this, Mike. Like, hey, I think Tariq Hill was back there. Like, hey, I ain't kicking it to that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking – they have so many fast guys. I'm not taking my chances on someone returning that thing for a touchdown.
So I wonder what the Kansas City coaches said about a return. Like, don't burn the clock.
Right.
You know, take a knee, whatever. You know, let's let Mahomes do it.
Sure.
So, but I'm with you. Whoever thinks 13 seconds and three timeouts, oh shit, we're in trouble.
You left him too much time.
And how open? But I mean, these are smart plays, right? Look at the play to Kelce, or the first one, the quick one, right down where he had blockers in front of him. Then the second one to Kelce, you flooded the right side. So the one guy that could take away the inside, the one defender stayed on the outside of Kelce. And the backer who would have had the inside is drifting toward the flooded receiver side. So there's a little bit of space there. Mahomes drills it in. You're going, what the hell is going on?
And then you have Bucker making that big kick. And Mike, one of the things that we were talking about this on our show, and Mike Ryan made a really good point. These guys never get credit. The field goal holder. Do you realize how bad that snap was and what a great job he did to get that thing down so Bucker could kick it through?
So here's what I do. I think of any time there's a situation like that, I don't think of the kicker. I think of the holder because of what in my eyes is the greatest, most realistic football movie out there, North Dallas 40, where they score that touchdown at the end and all they need is the extra point and the holder fumbles the snap. And yeah, so I'm with you. You get that holder, make sure it's down, man. Make sure it's down. And oh my God, I mean, to be able to put it through, incredible.
Amazing.
Spoiler alert.
McDermott said on the kick, I really don't want to get into specifics. Overall, there were things that we talked about and we can just execute better. That starts with me and goes all the way down. They asked him again and he said, again, I don't want to get into specifics.
Unlike Bruce Arians, who got into specifics on that last play of the game. When they had
that's on McDermott, Mike. That's not on the players. Like, you can't get carried away. You can't get lost in the moment. You think you've won the game. You don't realize you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs for a second and that Mahomes could come down and do that. That's the head coach having to say, hey, put the kick on the ground. Get 3 or 4 seconds off the clock. Has to come from him. Yes.
Well, it's absolutely right. Or did somebody go to him? Did the special teams coordinator say, hey, you want a squib kick? Did he say no? I don't know. And it doesn't sound like he's going to tell us. But no, you're right. That's the head coach's decision right there. And he's got to know right then and there. You know, that's when it's like playing pool. You're not shooting your shot. You're looking at the next shot. Okay, so – you know, you scored, and now as everybody's getting ready to kick off, you got to know, okay, what am I going to do here? 13 seconds, 3 timeouts. Do I want to burn a couple seconds? You know, what do I want to do here? So, yeah, that's on the head coach.
Also, just back to overtime for a second, Josh Allen said that he's not going to use that as an excuse. He doesn't feel like there needs to be rule changes. He said, we didn't make enough plays, which I would say to him, to Josh Allen, dude, all you did was make plays. That's all you did was make plays.
But I'm glad he's saying that, because there's a lot of plays in a game, count them all up, of where you can do something offensively or defensively.
Right.
So that's why I say all of that, period, end of paragraph and sentence, and then I would go on to say I do not like these overtime rules.
It's amazing to me that we had one game that we're talking about changing the rules because – one half of the field didn't play any defense. Like, neither team played any defense. In another game, we're talking about how all three phases matter because San Francisco won because of special teams.
Yep. It's exactly right. I mean, their special teams were incredible with what they did. And Green Bay's was horrible. And Green Bay struggled with coverage all year, but they were bad. So, you're right. Absolutely right.
Mike, Travis Kelce is going to waltz into the Hall of Fame 5 years after the day he retires, right?
Yeah, you look at, you know, because I was doing the Tampa game, so I get a lot of info before it. And basically Gronk is leading in like every playoff statistic, you know, and such. And right there and usually in second, and a lot of them are Kelce. And Kelsey's going to be playing more than a few more years. So, yes, Kelce is going to go down in the team picture, yes, of greatest tight ends that ever played this game.
Are the Titans a quarterback away?
Man, I'm telling you what, I actually got that one right.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, it doesn't seem like the coaching staff even has faith in Tannehill in the passing game, and that's why I said if they get ahead, or Cincinnati got ahead, or if Tennessee has to pass, it's going to be a struggle. And you know, it was because they ran the ball well, even when Derrick Henry got hurt after 8 games. They were 6-2. They went 6-3 with Derrick Henry out. So Dante Foreman was running the ball well, but it's very difficult in this league to win if you don't have a sufficient quarterback that when they have to can go get you what you need. Right. And forgetting us saying it, I don't feel like the coaching staff has the faith in Tannehill to do it.
Mike, have you seen the quarterback position, especially in the AFC? Yes, Brady and Rodgers are still out there, and they're still doing their thing at a very high level. But when you consider Mahomes, when you consider Josh Allen, by the way, in your wildest dreams coming, I don't know what your expectations were for Josh Allen coming out of college. You didn't expect this, did you?
No. The first thing I didn't expect is rarely do you see a quarterback that doesn't have a great completion percentage come to the NFL and all of a sudden have one. That's a tough thing because the windows get tighter, the players are faster, and you get fooled a lot more. So kudos to him and the coaching staff that he did improve on that, and he did get a better completion percentage. You always knew he could run, but, man, he has become a danger. They, again, quarterback power sweeps. I mean, it is incredible to watch. But, no, from a passing standpoint, I wasn't sure where we were going to go with him, but he's got it all. I mean, it is wild to say that Rodgers could easily be the MVP, Brady led the league in passing yards and touchdowns. It's absurd. But, man, who isn't feeling good about the up-and-coming quarterbacks like Mahomes and Josh Allen and, like I said, Joe Burrow and what he's doing? My God, it's amazing.
That's where I was headed, Mike. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert, who'd even make the playoffs.
Herbert, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. And then you wonder, is it what's going to happen to other young guys that had kind of looked good and now we're not sure? A Baker Mayfield, a Kyler Murray, you know? Murray falling off a little bit. So, you wonder about some of those young quarterbacks. And then, obviously, it's too early to be saying anything about, you know, the Zach Wilsons of the world and the Trevor Lawrences of the world and the other rookie quarterbacks that played. You know, they need more time. It's unfair to do any judging right now.
Well, not if you're a Jet fan. Mikey A and I think Zach Wilson's a bust. I mean,
jeez, do you
and
really?
I'm convinced that if Josh Allen was drafted by the Jets and they had a chance, he wouldn't be this good.
They wouldn't know what to do with him.
Isn't it amazing? Coming out of preseason, everybody was saying Zach Wilson had the most promise. And just goes to show what preseason means. You know, everybody wanted to hand the job to Justin Fields because of preseason. You know, and it's unrealistic of what quarterbacks see in preseason.
All right, Mike, put us where you were when Tom Brady bled. Like, put us where you were. Like, what happened?
Wow. I was right there. So I'm right there on the sideline. And he did. He took a shot to the chin. Was it real blood?
Was it real?
Yes, it was real blood. Okay, it was real blood. And he did. He took a helmet a little bit to the chin. In no way, shape, or form should it have been a hit to the head. Mm. It caught him in the chin, just barely. But it did. It caught him in the chin. And listen, to get called for unsportsmanlike, he must have said magic words in a certain way.
Right.
So, I mean, because I would be stunned if refs weren't giving a little bit of leeway because it's the playoffs. They don't want to call, you know, fouls. But if you go too far, you know, if you heard what I believe it was Hockley, right? His kid who did the game, I think. Yeah. What he said after said it was abusive language. And you're even probably saying, stop, don't go, you know, and he just kept going and kept going. But what was hilarious is when he sat on the bench, I was standing right behind him. Every camera in the world was right there to see if he would give a reaction. And there's no doubt he's aware of it. So all he did, he was just looking at, you know, the tablet that they have when the quarterbacks look at the tablet. I don't even know if he was looking at anything, but he just wasn't going to give a reaction to anybody's cameras or anything. It was pretty wild, but he was pissed when he took that shot.
It was Brady though, Mike, and he was bleeding blood, Brady blood. I mean, it's basically a war crime was committed on the field.
Right.
Listen, he even admitted that he gets some calls sometimes, but I'm glad he didn't get a call there. He didn't deserve a call.
So, Mike, I think if you make Brady bleed, the Bucs should automatically get a touchdown. Mm-hmm.
They're going to touch on it. They should get points out of it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you think Tom Brady willed that field goal short, the one that would have put him up three scores?
No, the kicker actually hurt himself in the pregame.
Yeah, well, Brady hurt him, right?
Somebody hurt him. You know, maybe somebody. What was the skating thing? He got Nancy Kerrigan or something. You know, going into the locker room or something. But I was standing right by the goalpost when he kicked it. That's the one fun of working the sideline. I was all over the place trying to be right in position, everything. And right when the kick left his foot, I'm like, oh, this is good because it's 47 yards.
It looked
perfect. Who thinks a 47 yarder is ever going to be short? Right. And then it's coming, and I'm going, huh. And, I mean, it literally dropped 8 yards in front of me from where I was standing. And I think everybody was in shock that didn't reach the crossbar.
Did you enjoy the sidelines, like being around that, hearing all that?
So there's two things. I like to talk during a game. I love talking football and breaking down a game. When you're on the sideline, you don't do it as much, obviously. You know, they came to me probably 8 to 10 times. You know, I'm talking to the producer a lot. But I love being the analyst and calling a game. But you know, I understand this because I'm doing this for the Super Bowl, so they wanted me to get a game in to get the feel of everything. I would choose the booth over the sideline all the time because I can talk more, really get into the game. Right. But being back down there and, you know, being by the O-line, you know, when they're talking strategy or by the D-line or just getting the sense of what's going on down there, being able to be anywhere on the field, that was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm right close to everything that was happening. That part of it's very cool.
Mike, if you get lonely during the Super Bowl, you're doing sidelines for it. Feel free to call me. All right.
Yeah.
We'll send you a Zoom link. Yeah. We'll
Zoom. Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to try and do.
Zoom.
Somebody sent me a shot that one of the TV shots, I was right behind Stafford. And I got on TV. That's the other thing is I'll try and position myself where I can best get on camera.
Can we send you a Zoom? We'll figure out what to do afterwards, but can we send you a Zoom for the Super Bowl? How about that?
You can send me a Zoom. I'm actually supposed to be working during the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be working with us, right?
Yeah. That's.
You said you like to talk football. You're chatty, and it seems lonely there. And I'm just I'm offering you, hey, you want to talk football with someone? I'm here.
Really, be difficult if the booth wanted to come down to me while I was Zooming with you. That would probably be a problem.
Uh-huh. See, Mike, you said you can go wherever you want to go. I think you should just go walking up into the huddle and just be like, "So, what are we thinking here, guys?
There you go.
What do you want to do?"
There was one point I was going to take Bruce Arians a drink. And I mean a drink. When it was 27-3, I wanted to give him like some booze and say, you need this.
You should have done that. Was that the closest you've ever been to Tom Brady?
Oh, no. Actually, when Mike was in the Saints training camp, they practiced at Briarwood Country Club for the part of their training camp. And they had practices with New England. So Brady was there. It was after one practice. Me, my son Mike, and Tom chatted for about 10 minutes after a practice. So, I know Tom a little bit and chatted with him. Yeah.
All right. So were there any funny stories from the sidelines besides Drew Brees? We'll get to him in just a second. Not that that was funny, but we have questions.
No. I mean, not really. It was just I hadn't been on the sideline for a football game where I needed to be that involved in getting all the information. So I did enjoy it. But there were no crazy stories, nothing I haven't seen on a field. Players throwing helmets, players yelling at one another. Every now and then it's
all normal to
new.
You. It'd be crazy to us. Right.
Yeah.
Us.
All completely normal. Absolutely.
Before we get to Drew Brees, McVay, Mike, I was really surprised by this because they had it going. Stafford was playing well.
You
could argue that Stafford played as well as any quarterback this past weekend. And I'm including the two guys, Kansas City and Buffalo, Allen and Mahomes. That's how good Matthew Stafford was against a really good defense. I was surprised that Sean McVay didn't put his foot on the pedal and try to end the game. It seems like he was trying to milk that clock.
Me too.
He wanted the time to tick off, and he just wanted to get the hell out of there. And it almost cost him the game, Mike.
I agree. I was on the sideline. Like I said, I can talk to my producer, and I kept saying, if you want to come down to me, I disagree with this. I think they should be, trying to go for a first down, because at one point Tampa had no timeouts with a couple minutes to go. You get a first down, I mean, you're bleeding the clock dry.
Yeah.
And they run it up the gut, and Cam Akers gets his second fumble. That was the only thing you can't do. And they lose four fumbles in this game. Now, Cam Akers played well. Guys, just back for a couple of games after being out for an Achilles for so long. I think he had over 30 touches in the game. But, man, some of the fumbles that went on, the back and forth, it looks like Tampa Bay's going to have a shot. Von Miller gets a strip sack, fumble recovery, game over. L.A. gives it right back to him, game back on. Brady hits a long pass to Mike Evans because, of course, he does. It's Tom Brady.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's a one-score game. And then when they got down, let me tell you, it fooled me too. When they got down to the 8-yard line and it was fourth down and like a half a yard on the 8-yard line when they're down seven, everybody in the world, I was standing right next to Rodney Harrison at that point, and we're like, and Jack Collinsworth, and we're like, this is guaranteed 100% quarterback sneak.
Yeah,
I mean, right, no question about it. Hand off to Fournette, bounces it outside and doesn't get touched going to the end zone. So kudos to them. And then we're like, oh my God, it was amazing.
Pretty bad time. Well, first off, let's stay with Fournette for a second, Mike. I don't get why coaches don't do that. I'm being dead serious here. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the clock management. Listen, you don't want to take points off the board, but how about take a knee at the one? You don't want to leave Matthew Stafford any time to do what it is he did, you know? I think coaches should really start considering this, man.
So what I'll say is the Bucs defense played better in the second half.
They did.
So they were stopping the Rams more in the second half. So
But the Rams weren't as aggressive as you and I just spoke about.
No,
they were
you're
not
right.
as aggressive.
And,
right.
You're right. And so you kind of go by the feel of the game a little bit. I understand what you're saying there. I think the Bucs were just so happy to be back in it.
Probably.
And tie it up. And quite honestly, listen, again, that the two plays to Cooper Kupp on that drive, a crosser over the middle. Defender falls down, right? And then on the last play where they go to the 40-yard deep ball, do you know what? You know what, Stafford? You know what they call that play? This was great. So they hit the long ball. Tampa Bay is in a cover zero. They're in a zero blitz. So that means they're blitzing. No free safety. Nobody deep. Everybody's in man coverage, right? Levante David didn't get the call. Didn't blitz. And that's what you heard Arian say after the game. We had a call on. Not everybody got the call. You could see it. Levante David is just standing in the middle of the field, and they might as well have been playing with 10 guys. And listen, Levante David had a lot of tackles in the game, so I don't want to just sit here and say single him out. But he either didn't get the call. I'm sure he didn't get the call because he knows what the hell to do if he got it. He didn't blitz. So that's a free blitzer that is not coming straight ahead on Stafford. And Cooper Kupp is running what they call a for the love of the game route. What that means is Cooper Kupp is not going to get thrown the ball. It is a for love of the game means you just run deep. You're not getting the ball. What we're going to do is draw everybody to you, and we're going to hit a crosser underneath. The route's supposed to go to somebody else.
He's clearing out the defense.
He's clearing out the defense. Right. So he's running the route for the love of the game because he knows he's not getting the ball.
I love that.
Oh, isn't it great?
I love that.
All of a sudden, there's no extra blitzer like there should be. Stafford's got time in the pocket, and Kupp beat his guy. So Matthew just lost it up in the air, and that's the ball game. I mean, it's just amazing. The thing that amazes me the most, too, is you practice all year on everything all the time, and then what some of these last things come down to, and all of a sudden, your season's done. I mean, it's just amazing.
What you can't practice, Mike, I don't care how many – I know coaches try to do it. You can't practice what's going to happen in a game. You can't practice –
No.
Games.
Oh, no.
You can't do it. It's impossible.
You can practice everything, but you can't practice the actual practicality of when it's going to happen in that game.
Yes.
You're right.
Bad time to dial up a blitz there. I know that's Todd Bowles' style, but Matthew Stafford really good against the blitz. So
it's his style.
You could pick these games apart all day, man. It's crazy.
Well, I also didn't. I thought they should have blitzed more during the game. Stafford had all the Bruce Arians when he came at halftime said three things. He said they were very fortunate the Rams fumbled on the 2 yard line or they would have scored right at the end of half. He said that was a good momentum killer for them. He said, and very simply, we have to get to their passer, and we have to stop them from getting to our passer. But they were really blitzing. I was a little surprised. I thought they'd blitz a little bit more. Once they weren't getting there, I thought they would change it up. But the zero blitz is not a stunner to me. You're trying to get quick pressure. But you know it's going to put pressure on the back end because they're all in man coverage. And then all of a sudden, somebody doesn't go, and you're playing with 10 guys. You know, you just tied a hand behind your back.
Final thing, Mike, just and we'll get to Breeze here in a second because that's really why we wanted to have you. Well, that's why Billy did. But as a former defensive lineman who was really, really good, okay, who played next to two of the all-time greats, Reggie White, Jerome Bram, can you explain to people just how good Aaron Donald is at what it is that he does? Like, Mike, he might be the best I've ever seen. And I know you'll disagree because Reggie White, you think Reggie White was the greatest.
Yeah.
But holy shit, Aaron Donald's good.
Aaron Donald is unreal. And they actually, Tristan Wirfs was out for the game.
Yeah.
So they put in another O-tackle. They actually had Aaron Donald rushing some on him. But then what Tampa Bay did is whenever they lined up Gronk or Brate, they would put them connected to Wells, so that wide guy would have to end up rushing wider, so Donald kicked back inside. Well, I think one of the things now at this point, Stu, is I think he's in offensive lineman's head as well because they don't know what he can do. He can beat you with one step and one slap, or he can bull rush you because he gets underneath your pads and takes you straight back. So now you're a little bit unsure, so you try and quick set him and grab him, and he does one pop and he's gone. So you try and back off and try and let him do his moves, and he fucking straight arms you right in the chest and takes you right back to the quarterback. So I think that's the thing. He has so many different moves. And what's so different in the game today, guys work so much more like judo, like martial arts. There's so much more with the hands. Now, there was hand play when I played, don't get me wrong, but it's so prevalent now in the league of just knocking hands down and trying not to get engaged at all. And he's just so damn quick. I mean, splitting double teams. He's 2 yards in the backfield before you know it. So even if he's not making a play, he's affecting the play. And they got three of them. Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, and Aaron Donald. Jesus. And the kid Gaines, the big, you know, the big lunch pail guy, does a great job in the middle as well. So listen, I am big time. I think I really lean toward them getting to the Super Bowl with the talent that they have on both sides.
Mike, you got to give them credit. They went all in with Matthew Stafford, with Von Miller, with Jalen Ramsey, with Odell Beckham Jr. They went all in, and they're a home game away from playing the Super Bowl at home.
At home. It never happened before. Now it might happen 2 years in a row. I talked to Cooper a couple after the game, and I said, do you guys talk about the fact that you have pushed all the chips in the middle? He said, we're all aware.
Yeah,
you know, of the position we're in. He said, listen, we always try and get to the Super Bowl, but we know, you know, we made moves this year to really expedite that. So they're fully aware, obviously, of what they're doing, even though you try and get there every year.
All right. So Billy informed me that you were having a little conversation because you like to talk football during the games with Drew Brees.
Yes.
So, Billy, do you want to get these proceedings started here with our questions?
Before we transition over to Drew Brees, let me ask you something. Since you were at the Tampa Bay game, Sean McVay gets a lot of praise as being this nice, great-looking person. Up close and person, is that the case? Because sometimes you see people that are celebrities on TV and you see them in person, you're like, you know what? That looks like my friend. That looks like any Tom, Dick, or Harry. So what's the deal with McVay?
No, he's a fine-looking man.
Okay,
good.
Yeah, he is.
Now we'll get to
Cooper Kupp. Was Cooper Kupp taller than you expected?
Ooh,
Cooper Kupp was a little taller than I expected. Okay. Got a great beard, great full beard working right now too. Very nice kid.
Yeah,
very nice young man.
Good looking.
McVay, good hair, good beard. Yeah,
surprising. He was.
Did you notice the grays on the side of Tom's hair? Yeah. Did you see that, Tommy?
I didn't really look at that, though. No, sorry. Yeah, no. You should have. What are you going to do? Yeah.
I didn't think he was capable of bleeding or turning gray.
he bled. He bled, to which I'm sure, you know, maybe over on the sidelines they were quoting Rocky, you know, when he, Drago, he bleeds like everybody else, you know?
All right, Billy, Breeze's hair. What do you got?
Yeah, Mike, what was going on up there? You got a nice close look. Did you get a touch? Did you get a smell? What was going on there?
For his hair?
Yeah. God, Mike, that's been all anyone's talked about the entire – look, there's been three things people have talked about this football season, and it started the first week of the season. Number one, Drew Breeze's hair and kind of where it came from. Number two, is Aaron Rodgers tanking? Number three – did the Chiefs lose a step? Those are the three big stories from the season. And you
Drew Brees' hair.
Yeah. You didn't notice?
No, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know.
Chris Sims is on with us every week. He works with Brees. He says it's the talk of NBC Sports.
I feel like I'm letting you guys down. Just shooting the breeze, no pun intended.
Hey-o.
I didn't really look at it to notice it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Why don't you just give him a quick call and then we can ask him about it? Maybe a Zoom.
Can I ask you, what are you going to ask? If you had Drew Brees right now on Zoom, what would you ask him about his hair?
Well, I'd like to know what kind of products he's using because I think it looks great. Now, there's people that think that it might be fake hair that he has going on there. I do not believe that that's the case. I think that he just found a new look. And I'm one, look, if I take off my hat right now, you'll see I haven't quite figured out what I want my hair to look like. But maybe Drew found the right look, and that's what's going on there, you know?
Mm-hmm. We'd ask him if it's real, Mike.
Yeah, let's zoom Just zoom him up. Send him the link.
Is that what you would ask? Is that real hair?
I mean, we can, you know, we can disguise it with some football talk. Yeah. But yes, I mean, we're fine doing that.
Pretend we care
about
the game.
Do you not want to reach out to your friend? Yeah. What's going on here? I mean, your friends are my friends, right?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even think to look at his hair. I'm sorry.
Let's do it right now.
Okay, here's the thing. NBC has the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That whole crew will be right down on the field where I'm going to be. So
he could join your Zoom with Stu Gotts on the sideline.
I will look and I will investigate at the Super Bowl.
That's fair. Do you think you get Brees on, though? I mean, what do you like? Do you have Drew Brees' number just out of curiosity?
No, I do not.
Okay. Whose number do you have?
I should have gotten. Him and Rodney Harrison were right there. I should have gotten their number.
Jack Collinsworth, you were talking to him too.
I've never been good at that. I usually just like I talked to Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels before the game, you know, and just saying I was never one of those that got numbers though, and I should now. Yeah. I should with you guys more and understanding where we are in the world of interviews and Zooms. I should be getting more contacts, so I apologize.
If you want me to follow you around all the time on the sidelines, I'll gladly ask anyone you run into. I mean,
I'll be out of friends in 6 months.
If you're not already.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel good for your boy Andy Reid?
I am going to send. I did send Andy a text. We usually text back and forth a little bit, so all right. I'm sure I'll hear back from him. But very happy.
He wants to come on and talk about Drew's hair.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I'm sure that would be the topic of conversation. I know you just had the most incredible game, Andy, but Drew Brees' hair. Let's talk.
I'll just let you know what I try to do, okay? Because my friends are your friends, okay? Yeah, I reached out to Travis Kelce, and I asked him to join God Bless Football this week with me and you. How about that?
Good for you.
Yeah.
I fully admit I need to do better at that.
Okay.
Because I just talked to these guys, like, you know, we're all in doing the same thing, you know, and I never think to get the number.
The first step is admitting it. I mean.
Yeah. I admit it.
What's your Frank Cooper Cup up to this week?
Poop was getting ready for a football game. The NFL is actually a little bummed because, like, all the Super Bowl prep has to stop because the game is at SoFi this week. Title game. So a lot of the prep they were going to do, they can't do. They have to wait till after the game when they were going to get a lot of it done this week.
Right. They were expecting it to be in Lambeau.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Huh? If Jimmy Garoppolo gets to a Super Bowl, he will have made one more Super Bowl than Aaron Rodgers. I love it. I love football. It's so random, Mike.
No, God bless football, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. God bless stupidity, I think. I don't know. What is this?
God bless, yeah. God bless stupidity. God bless football. Edit whatever in you want.
I don't want to talk about the games coming up this weekend. We will do that on God Bless Football later this week. But I wanted to get your thoughts on what was a fantastic weekend and Drew Brees' hair. But listen, we'll do better next time.
the shame of it is are we going to get a letdown this weekend? Now we only have one game each day. And
I know.
I mean, how can they possibly live up to what we just saw?
Although I would tell you the Bengals and Chiefs played one of the top three games of the year like 5 weeks ago. So we can get it. Yeah. Boy, I mean, Burrow and Mahomes is going to be fun, man. I don't know about the other game, but Burrow and Mahomes is going to be a lot of fun.
And I just love the way Cincinnati's playing right now and the confidence they have. So it's, anybody that says, oh, yeah, KC easy, you know, they need to go rewatch that game.
Are you buying the kicker, McPherson, who came out 52-yard field goal to win the game? He told Joe Burrow on his way out to make the kick. Joe, it looks like we're headed to the AFC Championship game.
Dude is a rookie. He hit four field goals in the wild card and then four in this game. He's 8-for-8 in his first two postseason games, and he's a rookie. I mean, what cojones on that dude, right?
Yes.
Oh, and then to call it, I mean, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah.
Mike, America was rooting against Aaron Rodgers. I can't believe we arrived here so quickly. I never thought we would arrive here, but Aaron Rodgers keeps, you know, sticking his foot in his fucking mouth, and now you have the whole country rooting against him.
Yeah, he brought it on himself for what he said, and you know, obviously off the field talk that went on with COVID and everything. So, yeah, I mean, it's all self-induced, you know, with him. Listen,
yeah, it is.
It doesn't take away what a great quarterback he is, but people will keep bringing up that he doesn't get it done in the playoffs. And again, there's more to, you know, a team than a quarterback. But quarterbacks, as we know, get judged by Super Bowl rings, fairly or unfairly. We can sit here and say how it shouldn't happen. But, you know, that's how it happens. And it's been a struggle for him.
He'll be rooting against Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners this week. If he wants to go there, he'll be rooting against them, right?
I would agree with that. Yes.
I love it.
If that is going to be a thought of a destination for him, there's no way you're going to try that you're going to usurp a Super Bowl quarterback. I mean, I'd still do it because it's Aaron Rodgers. But, that would be interesting.
I mean, it's not like Jimmy's playing well. So, anyway. All right, Mike, we appreciate it. Thank you for doing it, as always. And we will talk to you. God bless football later.
All right, guys. God bless something.
Hey, Drew Scott here. And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.